Whether you drive a car,
need a car,
or just occasionally bum a ride with friends,
you've come to the right place.
Join Jill and Tom as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, this is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I am indeed Tom Appel. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. When you have a chance, when you have a moment, please check us out at consumerguide.com. You know the drill. If you're looking for a new car or truck, check out our Best Buy picks. If you want to listen to back episodes of the podcast, you can do that there. Although, I strongly recommend that you simply download, if you go and subscribe, download, and then leave reviews. Leave reviews. All right, in studio with me for like the 19th time in a row, Jill Simonello, how are you?
I'm good.
North American Car of the Year juror, managing editor of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk, and freelancer,
yes.
Jill Simonello. How
yes.
are you?
Good. You know, you just asked me how I was twice, so I'm going to point that out.
Yeah.
We're keeping tally. And I want to say it's only taken you like 2 years to actually get my title right.
Because I don't think about it anymore. I don't write an intro anymore.
Like, okay.
You know, we're coming up on 300 episodes, and we're coming up on 5 years.
Yeah.
So we have to figure out how to celebrate. Maybe we can get Damon back in studio, or Jenny Newman of Cars.com was our first guest.
Right.
Maybe she would like to be.
We could have a whole Cars.com episode. I will tell you, I did just schedule 2 Cars.com people in June.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Well, tell us. Share.
Yeah. So Mike Hanley is going to come on at the beginning of June and talk about the crossover.
They did a crossover
shootdown.
Comparison.
Yeah. And then the American Made Index is going to be coming out in the middle of June. So I have Patrick Masterson scheduled towards the end to talk about that.
I don't know Patrick well.
I don't know him well, but I feel like we had him on the show talking about the AMI last year.
Okay. If you're talking about someone from Cars, mm-hmm. they know their stuff.
Yes, they do.
There's no question. So happy to have anyone from Cars.com join us. Hanley, I know well.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Also a North American Car of the Year juror.
He is, and he was on my administration back when I was president of the Midwest Automotive Media Association.
That's right. He was membership, wasn't he?
I don't recall. I don't recall, but his input was always welcome.
Yes.
And that's a funny thing when you join anything, mm-hmm. not just like our organization. If you sit on the board, mm-hmm. what you specifically do matters less than what you can contribute.
Yes.
You know, so there you have that.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happened last week, so we can just go ahead and talk about something else.
Yeah, no, it was a really boring week last week.
Oh, dear God.
Do you have whiplash yet?
I do, and I was on with Steve and Johnny Saturday night,
mm-hmm.
and the news was pretty fresh. And I didn't really know what to talk about because mm-hmm. I don't think anyone fully appreciates the impact, not the impact of the tariffs, what the tariffs actually are.
Right.
Because there's a bit of weirdness here that if they previously qualified for the USMCA arrangement, which is every vehicle, mm-hmm. then they're only going to be tariffed, taxed on the amount of content that isn't US.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to know the dude with the calculator that has to figure that out.
No.
Because you just mentioned Cars.com and their most American made index.
Mm-hmm.
They don't break it down to specific percentages that they share.
Right.
Because it's so nuanced.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you have to allow that a second tier or third tier component is simply all something.
Yeah.
Or you're going to dig so deep into that minutia that you mm-hmm. can't ever come up with a number.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of weirdness. So I didn't want to talk about the tariffs very much, but I did want to talk about the impact mm-hmm. of the tariffs. So we have news.
Yes.
Go ahead and tell me what you've heard here so far. One of the interesting ones not confirmed is that Mercedes-Benz is going to stop importing the GLA.
Okay, so you just said go ahead and tell me what you've already heard so far, and then you started talking.
Well, no, I meant as I went down the list. You go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I just wanted to correct your
grammatical. No, I didn't know if you'd heard this yet, if you had it confirmed. Most of this stuff is not 100% confirmed.
Well, I mean, so what I've heard is Stellantis is shutting down, or not shutting down, but putting on hold production in Canada and Mexico for a couple of their plants. I think the one in Canada produces the Dodge Daytona Charger, which is the new electric Charger.
Yes.
And then the one down in Mexico does the Wagoneer S EV. So we've talked about both of these vehicles previously. I don't think they're volume sellers yet.
And they're not even in the pipeline yet fully. So putting the pause on those doesn't hurt, but the Canada thing does hurt a little bit because the minivans come out of that.
Yes, yeah, the Pacifica also comes out of the same plant. So I've heard that. I heard, you know, Ford and Stellantis are offering employee pricing on their vehicles, I think, through the end of April.
Did not see that Stellantis is doing that.
Yeah, I believe Stellantis is also doing that.
So quick question for you. Why?
I don't know, to sell current inventory before the prices go up. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to do for two reasons. Mm-hmm. One, they're chewing away at what inventory they have before the prices increase. And secondly, no matter what the manufacturer does price-wise, it doesn't mean that the dealer has to honor that.
That's correct.
So I'm not entirely sure. It's good news. It's feel good. But I don't actually know what the end impact of that is. And what we have not seen yet is whether or not dealers are yet raising prices on cars.
Yeah. And I mean, I think this is automakers being optimistic, thinking that President Trump will revoke or repeal the tariffs by the end of April.
And it increasingly seems like that's not the case.
No, it does not.
I was hopeful that I was hopeful we wouldn't get this far.
No, that's true. And I feel like I heard a news clip of President Trump maybe either this morning or yesterday essentially saying, well, I don't want things to go down, but if they do, well, everybody has to take their medicine. And I'm like, oh, that's happy. But whatever. And the other thing that I've heard so far is that Volkswagen is actually going to put on their Monroney's a 25% tariff fee and be very visible about what they're charging.
Oh, I didn't know how much the fee was.
I think it's 25%.
But they're going to list on the Monroney the specific fee that is being added to the cost of the vehicle.
Because of the tariffs, yes.
Yeah, so that's going to be there.
Okay, so now back to you, Tom.
Yeah, no. And I mentioned Mercedes, not confirmed, but I did hear that they're going to discontinue importing the GLA, which means that the CLA, which is a sedan, a coupe-like sedan, probably not coming in either, which means that we have wiped out...
Compact?
Small, affordable. Yeah. Well, they're not affordable, but reasonably affordable. The
affordable
most affordable
in Mercedes.
Mercedes
terms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of a shame.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, I don't know what's happening at Audi yet, but all of Audi's Q5s are built in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
That's their volume car.
Yeah.
Haven't heard anything. I just wanted to throw that out there. Volkswagen has stopped importing the Taos, the Jetta, and the Tiguan, which is their whole most affordable end of the lineup, all come from Mexico. Whoops, that's bad.
That is really bad, especially since Tiguan is completely new for 2025.
Is it completely new? It's significantly updated, whatever it is. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a shame, too. And then, of course, the ID Buzz being stopped at the port. So if you thought the cool retro-looking minivan was too good to be true, it may be.
It is, and it's probably going to cost even more.
Yeah, and it's already too expensive.
Yeah.
So... this isn't going to shock a lot of people. JLR, Jaguar Land Rover, has stopped importing everything.
Well, they're one car that they sell.
Well, the Jaguar, but the Land Rover stuff.
That's true.
They have reliability issues, but the product itself is compelling. Right. I like driving Range Rover products.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially the Defender.
Mm-hmm.
Like that a lot. This one's a big deal because it brings up questions about the brand. Infiniti has stopped taking orders for the QX50 and QX55.
Mm-hmm.
Infiniti doesn't sell that much anyway.
Right.
And you're taking away their two most affordable vehicles. Not their highest volume, though. The new QX60 is their volume vehicle now.
Yeah.
But even that doesn't do much volume. This is going to leave dealers twiddling their thumbs a lot.
Yeah.
Because they're getting rid of about a third of their product lineup there. You just talked about Hyundai promising to hold prices, Ford employee pricing. This one's interesting because it's the first sort of manufacturing reaction. GM is doing what it can to tool up Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Yeah,
to produce more trucks.
That was the other one I've also heard. Yeah, because they build the Silverado and Sierra both in Fort Wayne and in Mexico, right?
Or Saleo, Canada? And in the U.S.
In Mexico.
Yeah,
it's a weird dual.
I think they have a third factory too. They build so many of the things.
Yeah.
What, 600,000 a year or something?
Yeah.
Plus GMC, so like 800,000. Mm-hmm. Fort Wayne, Indiana, already a big factory. They're going to try to get more out of that. And Stellantis, I just heard this on the way over here. Remind you to talk about the way over here.
Mm-hmm.
Stellantis to help suppliers pay tariff costs.
Okay.
Don't know what that means yet.
Right.
Also, I just wanted to point something else out here that's a little disturbing. If you look at a Monroney label, as you have done,
yes,
as I have done, as any shopper has done, there is information in there on the vehicle, on the Monroney label, about the nation of origin.
Okay.
Here's the funny thing about that. The nation of origin sticker does not differentiate between the U.S. and Canada.
Mm.
Both are considered legally in the U.S. at one point a domestic.
Right.
We literally considered Canadian content domestic. So even the language of this has now changed.
Right.
So bumming me out. The way here, different. Can I do a 180? Can I talk about something else here?
Okay. So we're done talking about tariffs.
Yes, for the moment.
And now for the moment. Okay, yeah. But we may come back to it later.
We may.
You're reserving the right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just want to talk about the way here.
The way here. Got it.
I am driving this week.
I was going to say, in your purple BMW?
My purple BMW, which is a delight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a BMW M235i.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an M-series version of the 2-series Grand Coupe. Grand Coupe means sedan, by the way. If you don't know the parlance of BMW, there's nothing coupe about it, except that there's not a lot of headroom in the back seat. Delightful car.
Okay.
If I had one complaint about it dynamically, the 7-speed dual clutch automatic does not give you a lot of speed control at low speed.
Okay.
Throttle imports are kind of ignored until some point, at which point it lurches forward a little bit quickly. But that 7-speed dual clutch is a honey once you're moving.
Okay.
It sticks off the nicest shifts. Oh, nice car. However, every single freaking time I got into this car, I had to rehook up my phone to the car. Like, it wasn't even like it wasn't even like the connection was bad. It was like my phone had been ignored.
Okay.
And I'd go into the system, and the previous guy, by the way, who's from Cars, his phone is still listed there, but mine disappears. When I relink, my phone is added to the list below this person's.
So you need to delete their phone.
I can't because I don't have an ID number.
You should be able to delete it.
No, can't do it. I have to have an account with the car.
I'm gonna be having this car in a couple of weeks, and if your phone is still listed, I'm going to
it won't be.
Make phone calls or something from it.
Yeah.
No.
Please do. Yeah.
No. Well, you know.
Call time of day in Japan.
I will do that. Yeah. You know, it's really funny because I very rarely have the disconnection problems that you seem to have with vehicles. But I'm driving the Toyota Tundra SR5 right now, and I did have another, again, I've only had this now like twice in Toyota vehicles. I did have a little glitchy problem when I was heading to Indianapolis, and it wouldn't recognize my phone. My phone was in the list, and I went to my phone and I hit, you know, connect, you know, on my phone, and it said that it was paired with the car, and then you look at the car and it's paired with the car, but it wouldn't activate Apple CarPlay. There was like some kind of an Apple CarPlay failure. So what there were two fixes for this, because it had to happen to me twice. So the first time I had to get the vehicle to forget my phone, and then I repaired my phone. And then the second time I just turned my phone off and then turned it back on and it paired.
And these are more than minor annoyances. They take time.
Yeah. Especially if you've already started driving and then you, like, I had to pull over to the first time to try and figure it out. And I was like, you know, it's a 3-hour drive to Indianapolis. I want to get going.
Well, it's a 4-minute drive to here from my home. I could walk, though I would never do that. But my point is, I'm not going to spend 3 or 4 minutes to hook up my phone to make a 4-minute walk or more 4-minute drive. So
more like a 10-minute walk than a 4-minute drive.
So I'm doing something weird, like listening to the radio or something. But which, by the way, I want to talk about later, radio. But my point is twofold. The BMW is charming as heck.
Okay.
Great car. Little expensive, but you don't have to get the M. The one I'm driving is $59,000. We might talk about, maybe we'll wait until you drive and we'll have a lengthier conversation.
Okay.
Because it is an absolute joy to drive. The other thing, which is not related to anything automotive, I went to Spunky Dunkers. I got donuts. And there's a woman inside whom I assumed was homeless based on her wardrobe. But there was a BMW in the parking lot. And she was the only person in there. But she was sitting sideways across two stools yelling at Dr. Phil. Every time I go for donuts, Dr. Phil is running. And some woman who was a nurse had ignored her kid's symptoms or something. Like, I was already way too involved for a 2.5-minute donut visit. But she was yelling at Dr. Phil while holding up one of the orange donuts, I think.
Okay.
I just needed to share that.
Not one of the orange donuts we are going to be eating. Because you had 2 orange donuts in here. Just need to verify she was not holding up one of those.
No, none of these are the actual donuts.
Okay.
That would be weird.
It would be weird, but I wouldn't put it beyond you. I'm just saying.
By what set of circumstances would I end up with a donut she was holding?
You took it away from her because she was homeless. I don't know.
That would make this a better story.
That would make you mean.
I don't really have a good... It was just a Dr. Phil thing.
Okay.
I didn't know anyone cared enough about Dr. Phil to yell at him.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
But, yeah, and you didn't get a picture of me getting donuts today, so that's nice.
I did not, yeah. I do have a picture on my Facebook page of Tom getting donuts.
Which is nice, yeah. It's like a parlor shot.
Well, you know.
A boudoir shot.
It was a candid.
Very candid. Okay. Also, that's a mimosa donut.
Oh, okay.
All right. I think do we want to talk more about tariffs?
No.
Want to talk about tires?
Yes.
You, tires are interesting because we're auto journalists. And one of the things you and I were just talking about off air before we went on is that it's a little bit difficult to know much about tires because when we drive a car, it just has one set of tires on it.
Right.
And the tire's performance is difficult to remove or separate from the ride and handling of the car. There are things like if you really drive an tire aggressively,
right.
You might have a sense about rollover. That's more of an 80s thing. When tires were narrower and taller. But hard to know. But Pirelli.
Mm-hmm.
Had you been to a Pirelli event before?
I have not.
Yeah. Pirelli, generally kind of quiet in our circles, had an event for a very expensive, serious off-road tire called the Scorpion XTM.
Yes.
And you got to do fun things
in
vehicles shod with these tires.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So Pirelli sponsors the Rebel Rally, which I participate in every year, and they do like a Pirelli tire challenge. And so I am moderately familiar with, you know, Pirelli in terms of off-roading, but they are certainly more well-known for their performance, like sporty tires.
Yeah. And if you were reading car magazines in the 80s and 90s, Pirelli kind of kept magazines alive. Like they took out a lot of double page ads in the back of the magazine that showed pictures of tires, which if you were a geek, you're like, this is awesome.
Right.
But I remember lots and lots. And Pirellis were also really good, very highly regarded, high performance, expensive tires.
Right. And so these new Scorpion XTM tires, XTM is for like extreme performance. And they are, they're really interesting because they have a very heavy pattern tread. And the way that the tread is lined up is not symmetrical almost. It's kind of like alternating tread patterns so that they, what did they call it? It said like a high void capacity or something like that. So like if you've got
rocks. I saw that in the press release you shared, and I think that means that there are large deep spaces.
Yeah, and so like if there's rocks in there, then like it can spit them out more easily so that you're not going to get a whole bunch of rocks stuck in your treads. Or if you're going through mud or water, it like, you know, kind of filters it through the tread pattern better. They didn't tell us about the compound, but they did say that the tires are triple snowflake peak, triple peak snowflake rated, I think. I'm like,
and do you know what that means?
I know it makes sense. They can go into like more extreme temperatures on the cold side of things.
And is that a federal rating?
That I'm not sure.
Because most of the ratings that you'll see stamped on the side, including the ones that have to do with wear and temperature,
right.
Those are federal ratings.
Yeah, and that I'm not entirely sure. I didn't check either. Yeah. But what I thought was really interesting is you can take this into snowy, colder climates, but the testing we did was in Death Valley and in the Mojave Desert. So we were at 100 degree temperature. So I thought it was fascinating that you could take these
tires.
Was
it already 100 there?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was. And a windstorm. It was so much fun.
Nice.
Yeah, I like still pulling sand out of places. But what we did is we started out like on road.
Wait. Places on your person?
Places on my person. Like
okay,
my ears, my nose. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But we started out in Las Vegas. So we flew into Las Vegas and we ended up driving to Death Valley. We stayed the night at Death Valley Inn. So lots of on-road driving the first day that gave you a really good sense of tire noise and feedback. And what I thought was really interesting is There was not as much tire noise as I expected because the tread on these tires is it's aggressive. And usually when you have an off-road tire, you hear like a buzz or
oh,
like
yeah.
a
Not only do you hear it, you may feel it.
Yeah.
There's a very high frequency. You hesitate to call it a shudder or even a vibration, but it is there.
Yeah, and there was very, very little of that. So I drive a lot of off-road vehicles, and I drive them in varying tires. And I even though we didn't do a direct comparison to Pirelli to whatever, I will say these are probably the quietest tires I have ever tested.
Interesting.
On-road. And so then once we left Death Valley, we went off-road, and we went to a place called Dumont Dunes, where there's a lot of sand, a lot of rocks, and we didn't air down. So usually when you off-road, you air down to create more tread.
To literally make a bigger tire.
Yeah, to make a bigger, more grippy space. And we didn't do that. So we kept them at the manufacturer spec.
Grippy space is a technical term?
It is. It is a Jill spec technical term, grippy space. But we didn't air down, which made this really, really impressive, because I was in Dumont Dunes for the Rebel Rally last year, driving a Ram RHO, aired down and got stuck. And we were driving Broncos, Wranglers, and we even had a Rivian, R1S, and did not get stuck. And so, not airing down and then not getting stuck, I thought was really impressive as well, because I know in sand it is so easy to get stuck, and you can do all the right things and still get stuck.
So we're running out of time here, but to your general impression is that these are great tires.
I would say yes. We did rocks, we did sand, we did on-road driving, and even though we didn't do a direct back-to-back comparison, I would say these are some of the most impressive off-road tires I've had the opportunity to drive.
Per the press release right now, these tires are available for the F-150, the Ram 1500, the Rivian R1T. It doesn't say R1S, but I'm sure it's practically the same thing.
Yeah.
And the Silverado EV. One of the things that the press release talks about is that they work for gasoline-powered cars, plug-in hybrids, and pure electrics. Are those different type versions of the tires?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So they have an
one
EV.
One tire fits all shouldn't really be
no.
a thing.
Okay. They have an EV version called Elect. But they're the XTM Elect tires that would go specifically for electric trucks or SUVs
that
go off-road.
I bet that if my printer had printed the last page of the press release, I'd know that.
Maybe. Right. That's okay. I printed out the press release so that I could actually have it in front of me and look at it while we were talking and left it on the printer.
We're bad with notes.
We are, but we're really good with memory. We like have all of this knowledge inside our heads, and it's amazing.
Maybe you're good with memory.
Well, that's fair.
I'm feeling my age.
But yeah, no. So I the other thing I want to say about these tires that I thought was really interesting is the tread isn't just on the the face of the tire. It bleeds down onto the sides so that it helps protect your tire.
Most of that's a style thing.
Yeah.
And one of the funniest things ever was when the Chevy Traverse came out, kind of bland looking, very well received for utility and general drive quality, but it looked a little boring. Mm-hmm. So they started slapping tires on it that had these weird sidewall designs on the side.
But this is more than a design. It is actual tread that will help with protecting the tire from pokey bits.
It also looks cool.
It does look cool.
Let's be frank about it.
It does look cool.
All right, we need to take a break. After the break, we talked to Matt Smith, deputy editor of Car Gurus.
Yes.
Stick around.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
We are back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom. She is Jill. Hello, Jill.
Hello.
I know you're fine, so I won't ask.
Thank you.
Because you're counting.
I am. You've already asked me how I am twice.
I love keeping track of just little ticks and weird things that people do in a situation like this.
Okay.
So there's that. I wrap up things a lot with strangely and familiarly. And at some point, someone's going to call me out for a lot of stuff. So I won't ask you how you are again.
Thank you. Right. I appreciate that.
But you're doing good.
I'm doing very well. Thank you. I'm going to say that's four times.
All right. Throw me a bone here real quick.
You would like to talk about social media.
Yeah, just real quick. I am Car Guy Tom on X and Twitter. Also, X seems to be dead.
Why do you say dead?
Because I do the Car Spotter thing, #CarSpotter. Mm-hmm. And it used to be that after a day, about 1,000 views would register for whatever it was, even though there weren't comments or likes. Now it's 100, 150.
Well, it's because you're not talking about politics. And
I'm trying.
That's why.
I'm trying not to, though. I had a long, long engagement with a fan of the show, Rich.
Okay.
Hey, Rich. Rich and I, we're cool.
Good.
But we did argue.
Well,
about tariffs.
And arguing is healthy.
You can read the entire argument right there.
On Twitter. Yeah.
And we were both sane and rational and good to each other.
Yeah, I feel like I skimmed through that and I was like, okay, that ended in a good place.
Yeah. No, I like Rich a lot.
Yeah.
Smart guy. And I think an entrepreneur, so his positions, I know where they come from.
Yes.
I appreciate where they come from. All right. On the phone with us right now is Matt Smith, deputy editor for Car Gurus. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Tom. Jill, how are you?
Does that count as the fifth time that somebody's asked?
No, Matt asked.
Because it's now to Matt asking.
But no one asked me. I'm good, sir. Thank you.
And I'm also doing well. Thank you. How are you doing today?
That's two for Tom, one for me. I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on the show.
Our pleasure. Matt, tell us a little bit about Car Gurus and what you do there.
Sure. So I'll start with myself. I'm the deputy editor working on our editorial team. And Car Gurus is the number one most visited car shopping site in the U.S. I might be biased in saying it, but I'd say it's a great place to kick off any car search.
I have been tracking mostly for my own appeasement, but also to talk about the resale values of Cybertrucks.
Okay.
So Car Gurus is one of the places I check. Also Cars.com in Edmonds.
Okay.
But Matt, you guys reached out. I'm sorry. Tell us about Car Gurus. I just cut you off.
Yeah, no, that's all right. So it's a car shopping website. We offer data like number of days on lot, vehicle history, and our instant market value price analysis. But one of the things that drew me to the company when I was looking to get into the car industry is that we don't pull punches. So, if a car isn't a great deal, it says it right there on the listing. And now, unlike some competitors like Carvana, we don't own our own inventory. Instead, we connect buyers with the best dealerships. And it has been, it's a terrific place to work. And I think the editorial team in particular is one of the best in the industry. I love working here.
I think that informing consumers as to the quality of the deal is one of the great things that has happened in online retailing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's not a great deal and you don't find the car especially compelling, move on.
Mm-hmm.
However, if it's a Nissan and you really wanted Monarch Orange and you can't find another one, maybe you take the lumps and pay a little extra for the car. But it's nice to have that tool and know what's going on. So I think that's great stuff, Matt. When we reached out to you, or you reached out to us, I don't know what happened, but you were going to talk to us. You were going to talk to us about some tips for shoppers. And one of the most interesting ones that you guys were going to chat about that you know about is how to make a decision between buying a gasoline powered car, a hybrid, a plug-in hybrid, or an electric vehicle. So walk us down that street because it's kind of a long and confusing road.
Yeah, for sure. So I mean, given price uncertainty, and particularly these days with so many questions about how much is my next car actually going to cost, it's totally understandable. Lots of shoppers are laser focused on their budgets. And I personally end up fielding a lot of questions about how much going electric or going plug-in hybrid can save you. When we are driving around in gas cars, all we have to do is basic arithmetic, right? We've got the cost of gas, miles per gallon. There we go.
Yeah.
But now with electricity thrown into the mix, it's more like an algebra of efficiency.
Or calculus. I mean, it's a much bigger equation.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the advice I give folks is, find out how much you're paying for electricity, because just like gas prices, that varies from state to state. And then, multiply that by the car's battery size. Think of the battery size as akin to its fuel tank, divide that figure by the vehicle's range, and then you get a general cost per mile.
And where does that number fall generally these days?
It's a great question. And I mean, on one hand, you could have a small compact sedan, and on the other hand, you could have a big three-row SUV. And it used to be that span of vehicle choices meant that you were looking at gas cars, but now EVs, you can get a little one or you can get a big one.
Yeah.
So I put together a couple examples, the Volkswagen ID4 and the Honda CR-V, which are roughly comparably sized vehicles, roughly in the same price range, CR-V hybrid, excuse me. And so if we look at those, you're going to be looking at about 4.62, to be specific, cents per mile in the ID4.
Okay.
You compare that with the CR-V hybrid, which is not quite double that, at about 8.75.
Okay.
The big question, of course, is, well, how much more does the ID4 cost? It's about $5,000 more. So you're looking at 8 years of driving, assuming you're doing a typical 15,000 mile per year amount of driving, about 8 years to recoup the difference. And that's before you get into the lifestyle requirements of a battery electric vehicle compared with a hybrid. Now, PHEVs, they kind of split the difference, okay, right? You get a little more efficiency than you get in a hybrid, but you don't pay the driving range penalty. You know, you can fill them up with gas if you need to go up to the White Mountains, for instance. I'm here in Boston, Massachusetts. But PHEVs are also more expensive than traditional hybrids. So really comes down to looking at what you need, what your budget is, and figuring out how much it's going to cost you to charge that battery or fill that gas tank.
But the PHEV would typically be a little less expensive than an all-electric vehicle. So, I mean, it could be a little bit more of an equation, but it could be a little more cost-effective and beneficial than going straight hybrid or straight electric.
Typically, yes. I 100% agree with that. But this is where the state-by-state stuff comes in. You know, you can't take one person's advice in Seattle and apply it to someone's life in Florida. So like here in Massachusetts, we've got expensive electricity. Mm. That's fine. I live here. This is my home. I'm not going anywhere. I've learned to accept the expense of electricity. But we have relatively cheap gas. So let's say the Toyota RAV4 PHEV, that should do 42 miles of all electric driving. But it has a 16-ish kilowatt hour battery, and electricity here is 30 cents a kilowatt hour. So it cost me almost $5, 42 miles, whereas if I got a RAV4 hybrid that does 39 mpg, I'm only paying $3.50 a gallon. It's almost $1.50 cheaper to do the commute in the hybrid RAV4 than it would be to do it on electricity alone in the PHEV.
What is it you're paying for electricity out that way?
I was going to ask about the gas.
Okay.
I looked it up, and you guys are based in Chicago, where electricity is about half the price as it is here in Massachusetts.
Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
I think we're 14 to 17 cents, depending on where you're at. But yeah, it's much cheaper here.
Plus, our gas is higher.
Consumer Guide, when we had an office near the city, we had industrial rates, and we were paying 4.5 cents.
Oh, wow.
A kilowatt.
So yeah.
It was basically free to drive an EV.
So there are some things to consider there, right? You know, our old office at CarGurus, we had chargers in the parking garage that were complimentary. So if I had a hybrid an electric or a PHEV press vehicle, I could drive it to work, charge it up while I was working, no cost to me. That completely changes the algebra.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly,
a little bit.
If you are going to buy a battery electric vehicle or a PHEV, I'm sure you guys have been in the same situation. I've spent far too many late nights looking for a level 2 fast charger because I didn't have one installed at my home. You got to get these installed at home if
Absolutely.
You're going to live with one of these vehicles. And so I know companies like Ford are offering the Ford Charge Station Pro charging unit. And they offer those for free with installation from Qmerit. If you buy a BEV from Ford. So shoppers should definitely look into those options.
So let's talk about a little bit, Matt, about the price of gas, because gas has been relatively stable for a while now, although my wife has complained that prices have gone up lately. But do we expect in the near future, I don't know if you're tracking this at all, gas prices to go up much or gas prices to change the math you just discussed?
That's a great question. I'll be honest, I don't have, OPEC's crystal ball, so I can't tell you confidently if they're going up or down. I anecdotally, I can say we tend to see higher gas prices in the summer months than we see in the winter. And certainly, you know, the global economy is always in flux. So it could be going up or down. But I think at the end of the day, the lesson for consumers kind of remains the same, and that is, you know, break out the calculator, do the math, think not just about the purchase price of the vehicle or your monthly payment on your car loan, but think about those operating costs. For a lot of people, electrification is going to be a more efficient and a more cost-effective solution, but it won't necessarily always be the case. A lot of that depends on where you live, how you charge, all that fun stuff.
And that's not even getting into the math that involves any state or federal incentives, not only for purchasing the vehicle, but also installing the chargers.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, as of now, EV tax credits are still available, but they're only available in qualified models, and you do have to, there are income limits that you have to fall under in order to qualify for the EV tax credits. I know fueleconomy.gov mm-hmm. keeps an up-to-date list of all the qualifying models. That's a great resource.
And the press release that was shared with us, there's some discussion here about your impressions of lifestyle and how lifestyle impacts a decision to buy an EV or not buy an EV. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so a fun example we have here, it doesn't cover EVs specifically, but we recently published an article on our top used cars with the best gas mileage. And rather than just listing off, you know, these are the cars that have the best fuel economy figures from the EPA over the last 5 or 10 years, we really looked at what vehicles can do different things and still provide good return at the gas pump. So there were some familiar names, you know, the Toyota Prius is on there, but then there are also some that folks might not be expecting. You know, the Kia Sorento Hybrid is a great three-row option that I recommend a lot of time. And that one, you know, despite having three rows, it's not a plug-in hybrid, it's not battery electric, it still gets 35 miles combined with all-wheel drive. So if you need a little extra space, you need all-wheel drive, there's an option there for you. Similarly, I mean, I think many of us are familiar with the Ford Maverick at this point. We understand its capabilities and lack thereof. You know, it's not going to tow your neighbor's 38-foot Catalina or whatever. But the hybrid model still has a truck bed. It returns 37 mpg. And if you're looking for something that can do light truck work, I don't think you can get a more fuel-efficient option on the market.
Yeah, and I know for 2025 they've introduced all-wheel drive with the hybrid powertrain, which is also impressive.
That's right. I don't know the fuel economy figures for it with all-wheel drive, but I do know that we're publishing a test drive review of that new car
tomorrow
or the next day.
It's tomorrow. It should be tomorrow. That's when the embargo
lifts. There you go. Should be tomorrow. If I'm on top of my game, I'll have that edited and produced, ready to go by tomorrow morning.
Well, we will link to that. Matt, we've flat run out of time. Is there anything we should really be talking about that we didn't cover?
I think in general, CarGurus is all about transparency. It's all about giving people the tools that they need to go into that dealership confidently and feel like they're, you know, standing on their own two feet and getting away with a great deal. And a lot of that comes down to, you know, if you're talking about fuel economy, doing the math, figuring it out, but also, you know, comparison shop, look at how long the car has been there, what its vehicle history is, check out those instant market values. And it's, I think it can be a really great resource for folks, especially as more and more questions arise in terms of how are we going to pay for all this?
Sounds good. And CarGurus is good. Wow, I just stuttered bad. CarGurus is simply CarGurus.com.
That's right, CarGurus.com. And for some of the research articles that we've talked about today, you can just do CarGurus.com/research. That'll take you there.
Sounds good. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
All right, that was Matt Smith with CarGurus. We're going to take a break, and when we come back...
Quiz time.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com.
I'm Robert Colangelo, host of The Green Sense Show. Every week, we feature groundbreaking innovations from energy and agriculture to smart cities and sustainable transportation. We interview experts working to create a cleaner, greener future. One of my favorite segments is Green Automotive News with auto expert Tom Appel. We test drive and review the latest EVs, hybrids, and ultra-efficient cars. Visit greensenseshow.com or listen to The Green Sense Minute on 105.9 WBBM Chicago.
Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
And we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I am Tom. She is Jill. And it's quiz time.
Yes.
I was just waiting for you to point out the fact that we haven't talked social media yet.
I'm waiting. I figure you know.
Yeah. All right. It's quiz time. But first. Jill, I hear you have some social media engagement activity.
I do.
You might be able to.
I do have some social media engagement activity.
I'll be back in a minute. Go ahead.
So I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Blue Sky, Twitter, X, if for those who want to call it that. I am on...
Flomax? You're on Flomax?
Yeah, Flomax. Isn't that a drug of some sort?
It is.
Okay. I'm not on that. But I am on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube. And I will say I have started double posting my TikTok videos to YouTube Shorts because
and Flomax
because I'm very unsure of the future of TikTok. There's a ban and then there's not a ban, and then we were going to have a ban over the weekend and then there's not a ban, and it's been saved and it's been postponed, and so I'm just like, you know what, I'm going to start posting both places, so you can find me on both places. But
it's weird that it's still around simply because the current administration seems to hate all things Chinese.
Well, he hates all things Chinese, but people like him on TikTok, so he likes TikTok.
Oh, all right. Well, that is a conundrum.
Yeah. So you can find me on all of these spaces at Jill Simonello, and that's Jill Simonello with a C, not an S. And it's not...
I've been getting that wrong.
Yeah, it's not Salmonella or Citronella or Cinderella, but Simonello. And I use the hashtag Cartajor.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, it's quiz time.
Okay.
Today's quiz comes to us by way of the good folks at Experian.
Okay.
The credit reporting folks.
Yes.
They've released a list of the most popular cars by state.
Okay.
Which is a great list to play with. I wish we could talk about it more, but we will cover five states today.
Okay, and you know what? I will say, whenever we've had these kinds of studies on, I'm always surprised by what the popular vehicle is.
And these are surprising.
Okay.
And the ones I've got are kind of surprising.
And you've done that on purpose, I'm sure.
A little bit, but I wanted them to be interesting, too.
Corolla.
I'm going to give you...
F-150.
Corolla isn't the answer to any of these, but I'm giving you two cars.
Okay.
So you don't have to just reach out into the atmosphere for nothing.
Camry.
Number one, are you ready?
Yeah.
Best-selling car in 2024 in Alabama.
Alabama.
Was it the Camry or the RAV4?
Oh, Alabama.
Bama. Bama pie.
Doesn't Alabama have a plant that produces some Toyotas? I think it's the Corolla Cross, but not either of the ones you...
No, the Corolla Cross and the CX-50 from Mazda.
Right, so it's not either of the ones you've listed.
It's the new joint venture plant.
I'm gonna say Camry.
It is. Yeah, Camry over hybrid. I would have picked RAV4 there. Alabama feels slightly crossover-y to me. Mm. But you are on the board. You've got one. Yep, Camry over RAV4. I don't have sales numbers for the state. Alaska.
Mm.
Silverado 1500 or RAV4?
I don't think people drive a lot in Alaska, actually.
Can I point out something interesting here?
Yeah.
It was specifically Silverado 1500.
Okay.
And that's interesting to me simply because Ford does not release sales by weight class. It's just F-Series. Mm-hmm. So you have to go to registration for these numbers. But Chevy does. General Motors does break those out.
So am I hearing you say that the answer is Chevrolet 1500? Did you give me the answer?
No, your options are Silverado 1500 or RAV4.
Okay.
But it was specifically 1500 that may or may not have been listed on the rest of the... I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying, but 1500 showed up other places.
Okay. So you're saying RAV4 or the 1500?
Uh-huh. Alaska. Rugged country.
It is rugged country, but
pure, unblemished.
I think
natural.
More people fly places than drive places.
Yeah. Not a lot of roads.
No. I think that, like, I remember when we took our cruise and we took the train down to join the boat from Anchorage, there was a neighborhood around an airstrip. I thought that was interesting.
Huh.
Okay. I'm going to say RAV4.
It is Silverado. You should have gone with your instinct there. Interestingly, number three on the list, Crosstrek. Subaru Crosstrek, which makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Relatively affordable with good all-wheel drive capability.
Okay.
All right. You didn't get any points there. Mm. Writing that down, you have 1 point. There are five questions total.
Okay.
plus the bonus question. Bonus question will always related to the topic of the day. Mm-hmm. You need to get three total for a win.
Okay.
California.
Okay.
Honda Civic or Tesla Model Y?
Ooh, that's tough.
And it was last year.
It was not this year. That's really tough because I have to tell you, I just came back from California and literally every vehicle on the road was a Tesla. It was like crazy.
It's Tesla's biggest market.
Yeah.
Like it's the California market is bigger than most countries for Tesla.
I feel like Honda
in pre-weirdness days.
Yeah, also has really big inroads there. You said Model 3 or Model Y?
Model Y or Honda Civic. The delightful Honda Civic.
The delightful.
Frankly, the Model Y is a great drive.
Yeah. I'm gonna say Model Y.
Yes. Yes, it is. They're everywhere, and we'll see if they make the list next year. Illinois, right around here.
Okay.
CR-V or RAV4? Honda CR-V, we just talked about that. Toyota RAV4. Both extremely popular vehicles. The real question here is, the RAV4 does outsell the CR-V nationally. Is there some weird reason why Illinoisians would prefer the Honda?
Because the Honda dealerships are really good here? I don't know.
That's one reason. Also, the CR-V is more fun to drive.
I really like the CR-V hybrid, actually, better than the RAV4 hybrid. Just put that out there as I'm stalling
nice
for time.
Vehicle.
And eating a donut.
Uh-huh. Going to need an answer eventually.
Eventually, I can give you an answer. Okay, so you said RAV4 or CR-V in Illinois.
Yep.
I'm going to say RAV4.
No, it is CR-V. Isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally,
all right.
This one's great because the answers both are pretty solid here. Michigan, where they make a bunch of things.
Mm-hmm.
The Ford F-150 or the Chevrolet Equinox.
Ooh.
Basically, the question is, who gives away more X-Plane deals?
I'm going to say the F-150.
Yes. But Equinox was second.
Okay.
Interestingly, I used to work with a guy named Tim, grew up in Michigan, and he told me that basically everyone who lived anywhere near Detroit always got X-Plane because they had a friend who was working in the industry.
Right.
So no one paid list for a car in Michigan.
Right.
All right. You got that. You're done. You won.
All right.
So no reason to go into the bonus question.
All right. So what else do we want to talk about then?
I don't know. We got 8 minutes left. We better do the bonus question.
Plus, you just like the bonus question.
You know what? I'm double dipping on the Illinois stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But today, we're going to talk a little bit about pizza. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Available in thin crust and deep dish form, the Lou, L-O-U, the Lou, is a menu staple at Lou Malnati's.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fantastic. It's available. It's on the menu. It's fabulous.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's no meat on it.
Okay.
Which is interesting for a Chicago pizza.
Okay.
I need you to tell me which of the following ingredients is not found on the Lou. Are you ready?
Okay, yeah.
Spinach, cheddar cheese, mushrooms, or onions?
It's either going to be spinach or cheddar cheese is my guess. And granted, I've never had, to the best of my knowledge, I've never had the Lou.
Are you familiar with Provel cheese in St. Louis pizza?
Oh, God, that stuff is awful. It literally sticks to your teeth.
It is the most amazing love or hate thing in the world.
No.
I love, there's a brand down there, a chain called Emo's.
Yes, Emo's Pizza.
Love it.
You've got to eat Emo's but it's like sticky cheese on a cracker. Because their crust is super thin.
Yeah.
Keeping in mind, I went to high school in St. Louis. I had a lot of Emo's Pizza. But the cheese sticks to your teeth. And it's like you literally, like it stick. You gotta like, you know, like
Provel cheese, which you can buy. You can just go to any store in St. Louis and buy Provel cheese and make your own pizza. But Provel is like part mozzarella, part cheddar, and part synthetic goo.
And it's the synthetic goo that sticks to your teeth.
And it's delicious.
I mean, it doesn't taste bad, but it sticks to your teeth.
It also makes a beautiful pizza, like the orange from the cheddar.
And it melts beautifully.
Yeah,
it does, but it sticks to your teeth.
All right, back to the question, though.
I feel like I need to go brush my teeth now.
I was just justifying the cheddar cheese on this list.
Okay.
And that got way, We went way into the weeds.
Yeah, it did. I'm gonna say cheddar cheese.
Is the weird outlier?
Yeah.
No.
Huh?
Onions.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. I like onions.
I've got the complete list here. Spinach mix. I don't know what spinach mix is, but spinach mix, mushrooms, sliced Roma tomatoes covered with a blend of mozzarella, Romano, and cheddar cheese. That is the loo.
So if I ordered the loo, I would probably add onions to it because I like onions in my pizza.
I do too. I like the snap.
Yeah. My favorite pizza toppings are, you wouldn't like the pepperoni, but I like pepperoni, green peppers, mushrooms, and onions.
The right place on the right pizza, I really like giardiniera.
Mm-hmm.
Hot giardiniera.
Mm-hmm.
There's a place down the street from here called Vinny's. They do a very thick crust pizza, but it's not a deep dish. It's just a very thick, like a almost 3/4 inch thick doughy pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And they put raw jalapenos on it.
Ooh.
Oh, gosh.
Well, you know, jalapenos and pepperoni, that's another favorite. And then there was a place in Logan Square. It's not open anymore, but right by the California Blue Line, it was called the Boiler Room. And they made really good pizza. And my favorite pizza from them was meatballs and giardiniera.
Huh.
It was really good.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Andrew, I just want to talk about the positive spin you just put on them closing. You said it's not there anymore.
There's another pizza place in its place.
Okay. As opposed to it tanked or failed, which may be the direction I would have taken that.
I think it changed ownership and changed names. How's that?
All right. That's fine. Yeah. Real quick, I did another stupid poll on X.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid just because it's not good polling.
Oh.
It's an interesting question.
Well, I mean, when only 100 people are looking at it.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. Well, only about 100 people answered this. But the question was, what do you listen to in the car?
Mm-hmm.
And the options were radio, satellite radio, Spotify or similar, or my own downloaded stuff. Do you want to guess which one was first? And it's not the one I would have guessed.
So for me, I would have said podcast, like my own downloaded stuff. But I would say for everybody else, it's probably Spotify.
No, by a reasonable margin, satellite radio, 30%. We never talk about XM Satellite, Sirius XM, and I'm just sort of surprised that that's there. But 30% there. Next was Spotify or similar.
Okay.
25% radio.
Okay.
24%, and my own downloaded stuff, just 21%.
Interesting.
I think this says two things.
Mm-hmm.
The people left on X are old, and the people who follow me on X are old.
Well, that could be. So it may be the people on X are young, but the people who follow you are old.
Because I would think that more than half of everybody must download music or content to listen to.
I mean, so yes, but no. I mean, you and I have a continual argument about Apple CarPlay and whether or not people use it. And
No. I don't deny that people use it.
But you're saying far fewer people care about it than I say.
Right, because it's an end to a means and there are other ends to those means.
But I feel like if people are downloading their own content, that they're using either Apple CarPlay or Android Auto to then listen to that content through their vehicle.
Probably. And I would not argue that Apple is fantastic for doing that.
Yeah.
Like if you're looking for really reliable downloads of music or podcast, I mean, Apple's great.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
And CarStuff podcast is one that you should be listening to on your Apple podcast.
Well, that's where we should also, like something like 80% of our listeners come through Apple.
Okay.
So it's huge.
And if
you're going to leave us a review, please leave it on Apple because that's where it matters most.
Yes.
So there you have it. But radio was 24%. Now, here's the thing about radio. Radio looks low on this list, but you can listen to radio.
For free.
You can also you can listen to it on Spotify.
Okay.
Like WGN radio.
But home
of Steve and Johnny.
But you can't listen to all radio on Spotify.
You can listen to a shocking amount of it, though. And then there are other services, Spotify or other. Because every
Spotify
radio station that we've had people on the show, WCPT, WGN, but all these Chicago stations can all be heard on some download service.
Okay.
Live.
Yeah, I don't want to pay a subscription fee, though.
No, I don't think you have to pay.
For Spotify, you do.
Did I pay? There was a station I was listening to that unfortunately went lights out at dusk, and the power was really low, so I couldn't hear the station in the suburbs. And I did pay for that for a while. There's a guy I like to listen to on that show, on that station. All right. What else is going on?
Well, you know, it's something that we haven't mentioned. We were named to the 70 best car podcasts in the world.
Yes. Yes, we were.
And I think we were like number six on the list.
How did you get an email and not me?
I don't know. They like me more than you. And I need to email the woman who messaged us and say we have appropriately mentioned it. Because like we put it out there on social. We've now mentioned it on the show.
Yeah, but they got a badge. There's a badge.
We should get the badge.
I put it on. You can see it.
You got the badge.
Yes. Well, from your email.
Okay. We got
so
the badge.
If you go to the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast Facebook page, you can see our badge. Okay. Also, there isn't a year on that badge, so if we break bad next year and don't get it, I'm still using the old badge.
Okay.
Because we didn't have to license it, and it's just there, and there's no year on it. So I presume we're always going to be one of the best.
I would say, yeah. And I mean, but I was like impressed with like some of the people that we beat.
Yeah. No, we're in good company. It's nice.
Yeah.
Also, while it's really good to be at the top of the list, I'm not 100% convinced we're better than some of the great folks on that list. So
I am.
Also, John McElroy, like his stuff is fantastic.
Right. Yeah.
He's been our guest before. We need to have him back on. But John McElroy is like the god of good podcasting about car stuff.
Yeah.
He's fabulous. And he's a nice guy. And people should follow him too, like on Facebook, because he's chatty.
He is.
He gets into issues in a pretty deep and meaningful way. So John McElroy. I would have a hard time saying we're better than John. Everyone else, yeah, we kick their butts.
But except for Jamie Butters, because you like him too, your friend Jamie Butters.
You know what the problem with that is? That show's really inside baseball.
It is.
He's fantastic.
Yes.
Smartest guy. Smartest guy in the industry. Jamie Butters is awesome.
The
and
Daily
he's my
Drive.
Dear, dear friend.
Yeah. Dear. Dear friend.
But that show's pretty deep in baseball.
Yes.
Like you got to know, you got to care about industry stuff. All right, guess what we did?
We had a really good show. That's what we did.
Yeah, fun show. Thank you to Matt Smith of Car Gurus. Check them out at cargurus.com. And then we will link to that stuff.
Yes.
In the show notes over on our Facebook page. Thank you, Jill. Thanks to producer Randy and the good folks here at TalkZone. Let's talk more about cars again next week.
Yep.
Remember to check us out at consumerguide.com.
The Car Stuff Podcast is produced by J-Turn Media.
To advertise on the show, please drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.